By whose authority are you doing these things, they asked. And who gave you the authority? So what happened prior to this challenge of authority, where Jesus got his authority to do the things that he had been doing? It had been a parade, a celebration. Jesus, the long-awaited king, the Messiah, had come into Jerusalem on a donkey. Shouts of Hosanna. And then, all of a sudden, he's in the temple. And he's chasing out the sellers, the businessmen, and telling them that this is not a den of thieves. He's been healing. He's been forgiving. And all of a sudden, the authorities begin to question who in the world this person is and where do you get the authority to do these things. If we recognize Jesus' authority as divine, then you and I are forced to listen to him and to allow him to have an influence on our lives. If Jesus is the Word of God, and the Scriptures are also the Word of God, then we need to allow Scripture to impact our lives as well. We live in a society in which authority is very important, although in recent times with protests and strikes and on, and people not following the law, we begin to have a concern. If police were to enter your home without the authority of a warrant, got to see if the judge is here this morning. He's not. I'm on safe ground. My understanding is that if they enter your home without a warrant and they find evidence that they can use against you, because it was obtained without proper authority, they cannot use it. In Jesus' day, religious authority was extremely important. The Pharisees asked Jesus what his authority was for these things. Because he was healing and he was saying things. Where did he get the power to say this? And one commentary writer summed it up this way. He said Jesus had been to no scribal school and had no formal authorization to give spiritual leadership in Israel. What in the world right did an unordained carpenter have to make a nuisance of himself? In Jesus' world, as in ours, people looked for the outward sign of authority, education, title, position, connections. But Jesus' authority came from whom he was, not from outward and superficial trappings. And what does that say to us as followers of Christ? Well, God has given us authority. And we can confidently speak and act on his behalf because he has authorized us. But that raises a question. Are you and I exercising this authority? In the city, the religious leaders are challenging Jesus to cite his authority for the acts of yesterday. They were literally demanding to know where Jesus got his authority. And Jesus senses that if he was to give a straight answer, that would cause a crisis that would finish his work before he was done. If he claimed human authority just from himself, he stood to lose the popularity of the people. And he knew that if he did that, the religious leaders would be able to negate his message and they would be able to execute him without fear of reprisal from the people. So Jesus uses an old rabbinic tradition of answering the question by asking a question of his own in return. So he says, with this question, and he places them on the spot. He makes a very difficult creates a very difficult situation for them. If they said, the Pharisees said that if his authority was simply human, they feared a backlash from the people and a loss of the popularity of the people, because they recognized John the Baptist as having divine authority and he was a prophet. But the question Jesus asked the Pharisees placed them in a catch-22 situation. And Jesus' reply went even further. And what was going to happen? Jesus turns the question against them and is saying, was John's authority from God or men? And what was revealed? Well, the Pharisees really did not want an answer to their questions. They only wanted to trap him. And Jesus showed that the Pharisees wanted the truth only if it supported their own views and causes. And the Pharisees went even further. They confessed that they were incompetent as teachers. And there was no point in the circumstances in Jesus saying anything more about his authority. So Jesus, in short, was saying to them, once you realize where John's authority comes from, you will realize from where mine comes too. In other words, John was the Elijah figure predicted in Malachi hundreds of years earlier as to who was to precede the coming of the Messiah. And that aspect would not be lost on the Pharisees and rulers. But sadly today, the same question of authority is with us. Jesus often talked in parables. He tells a series of stories, and usually the context shows clearly the contrast between professedly religious and the outcasts. The ministry of John, as well as that of Jesus, divided men on this score, and expectations were overthrown. And so we have this parable of the two sons. And the father asks the first son to go out into the vineyard, and he says, Father, I will not. But after a while, he decides that, no, he will go. The father asks the second son, I want you to go into the vineyard. And he says, certainly, Father, I'll go immediately. But then he decides, no, he does not want to go to the vineyard. Two disobedient sons. And what does this tell us? Well, it says in the scriptures. He tells of a father with two disobedient sons, which makes a devastating point. Even prostitutes and tax collectors have been more responsive to God than Israel's leaders. The son who said he would obey and that did not represented the nation of Israel in Jesus' day. Religious leaders, they wanted to do God's will, but they constantly disobeyed. One commentary says they were phony, just going through the motions. So if I was to ask you which was the obedient son, we know which one that would be. There's a wonderful little gospel episode in which you see Jesus, or you read about Jesus walking along the bank of the River Jordan, and John the Baptist sees him and he says, there is the Lamb of God. And two of John's followers look, and they start to follow Jesus. And Jesus turns to them and says, what do you want? And what he's really saying to them is, what are your intentions? The question is very direct. The question is put directly to us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are trying to draw close to him, even in this worship event. Jesus is in our midst now asking, what do you want? What are your expectations? What are your intentions?
And if we had time, I'd like to ask some of you, what are your intentions? What do you want? And some of you would be quite verbose, trying to find the exact reason for why or what your expectations are. Others would have short answers. And it doesn't matter whether your answer is long or short. The bottom line of it is, what we want to say as Jesus' followers is to know that He loves us unconditionally. And that He wants us to do the will of God. That He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to accept His authority. Everything else is insignificant. And you know, when you accept the authority of God, when you're obedient, when you trust, it opens up a whole new realm of living. And when you accept the authority of God's will, by being obedient to God's will, it means that you're actually following the teachings of the Lord. And that way you obtain a peace that passeth all understanding. But sadly, many of us say these sort of things over and over, but we really don't mean them. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. And it brings into question, where does Jesus' authority come from? And I've said Jesus is described as the Word of God in Scripture, and the Bible is referred to as the Word of God. And if that being the case, we have to ask ourselves the same question about the authority of the Bible. Is it merely a human book? And we can pick and choose those exciting parts that seem acceptable to live out the lifestyle that we've become accustomed to and chuck aside everything else? Or do we see the Scriptures as divine authority? And we have to listen. And we have to allow what we hear to impact our lives, to change us radically. And some of that learning to obey is painful. It goes against many times the way of life that we become accustomed to, that we feel comfortable. And that's why we need to spend time in prayer. That's why we need to spend time reading the Bible. Because if we believe that Jesus and those that we read about, Peter and John, we need to listen carefully to what they share with us so that we aren't led astray by false teachers. And if we believe that Jesus' authority is divine, we are forced to listen to Him. And we want these teachings to impact life so it changes us. And if not, then the Bible is merely a human book. And we can pick and choose and live our lives accordingly. A well-intentioned man, and we'll call this man Richard. No reference to any Richard in this church. A well-intentioned man on his way home from work one night decided to do something special for his wife. And he went into a flower shop and he bought a beautiful bouquet of roses to take home with him. And as he was leaving the shop, flowers in hand, the florist called out to him, "Are those for your wife, Richard?" "Well, yes, they are." "For her birthday?" No. "For her anniversary?" No. Then as Richard opened the door to leave, the florist called out once again, "Well, Richard, I hope she forgives you, or at least gives you an A for effort." It's a funny story, but it talks about good intentions. Good intentions are of no account if all we do is talk about them. We need to be obedient. We need to be accepting the authority and the will of God. Jesus is willing to give you an A for effort. But we have to get on with it. We have to do it. For many, many years, we have had a motto, a place to belong. This house of God is a place where we gather together as members of the family of God. As followers of Christ, we gather in hopes that the teachings that we hear will impact our lives and change us radically. That we will become more obedient followers. That we will become more accepting followers of God's authority. And we'll put them into real action. I want to suggest something to you. And I'll use another story. This man called Joel comes to the pearly gates. Really, the story is told of a rather tight-fisted elderly man called Joel who arrived at the pearly gates where he was greeted by an angel. "Before I can open the gates and let you in," the angel said, I must ask you a few questions. "Were you a person of good intentions?" Well, Joel answered, "Well, yes, there were lots of good things I intended to do, but I just never got around to doing them." "Name the good deeds you performed in the last 5 years." So this man called Joel thought for a while, then said, "Well, you know, as I recall, about 2 years ago, a homeless baker stopped me on the street and told me he had not eaten anything in 2 days, so I gave him a toonie. And yes, about 5 years later, another homeless beggar asked me for help, and I gave him a toonie." And hearing this, the angel turned to St. Peter, the gatekeeper, and said, "What shall I do with this man called Joel?" And St. Peter replied, "Give Joel his toonie back and tell him he's at the wrong gate." Good intentions. Let me leave you with this. When you leave this place to belong this morning, leave with a good intention of maybe giving yourself to someone who is in need, someone who is hurting, someone who just wants a good listener, someone who can benefit from a loving arm being placed around them and showing care. It may be someone that you love, it may be a stranger, it may be a so-called enemy. Don't just think about it. Don't just have a good intention. Go out and do it this week. And if you are a follower of Jesus, He's waiting, eager for you to be obedient, to realize where the authority of Jesus comes from, to realize what the Bible really is. And Jesus is willing to give you an A for effort, as long as you're not talking the talk, but you're walking the walk as well. Come to Jesus. That is what is wanted, desired, and it'll change your life. Come to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Fall before Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Dance to Jesus. And fly to Jesus. Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to accept the will of God and the authority of Jesus? Come.